Jesus is my rock, and prayer is how I roll. Good morning. Again, when you see the toothpick come out, turn your minds on, open up your hearts, open up the Word of God, let's rightly divide it. So why? We can apply it, and then it's a good idea to turn your cell phones off too. And I believe I need to do that. I want to set an example up here. Okay, today is 12/26/21, day after Christmas. I'm going to be teaching in Ephesians chapter 1, starting in verse 16, and we'll see if we get down to 21. If we don't, that's fine, because this is such a deep, so much spiritual truth in these few verses. For those who don't know, maybe watching the video, I'm Paul Baalbek III, where Faith Bible Church Adult Sunday School class. Y'all know that? Yeah. Hey, you're on the ball this morning. All right, my man's here. What up, right? So let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. And then hold your finger there. We're going to open up that. Going back to my Pentecostal day, speaking in tongues again. We're going to go to the Lord in prayer. Because for any effective teaching or preaching, we have to depend on the Lord, and it's backed up with prayers, so by your prayers. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege to call you our Heavenly Father. Thank you for giving us, when we believe the gospel, that Christ died for our sins. He was buried and he rose. And we know this by the scriptures, according to the scriptures, that you sealed us with your Holy Spirit, and you gave us your spiritual DNA. And we're your children. And we're your full adult children with our privileges and responsibilities. And I pray this morning, God, what Paul's going to be praying in when he was praying for the Ephesians, and that would be actually applicable to all of us because we're all believers, grace believers. And if one isn't today, Father, I pray that they'll become one. They'll learn the importance of rightly dividing the word and understanding that body of truth that Paul calls a mystery. May your Holy Spirit illumine every mind, every heart here, Father. And thank you that for his ministry in that area in our lives. And we give Christ all the glory, the honor, and the praise. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. You know why we pray in Jesus' name, right? It's not a magical formula. It's in the authority of Christ's name. It should always remind us that the only way we got access to God is because of what Christ did and through his Holy Spirit, right? So that's, you know, like some people, I know a church I used to go to, and a lady on Facebook, she said a prayer and didn't say in Jesus' name, and they got all over her. And it's just like, you know, does that mean your prayer is not effective? No. But it reminds us, I think, that why we have this, everything we have, every spiritual blessing, every privilege is because of what Christ purchased by his own precious blood. So let's go Ephesians 1, 16, 17. And just so you know, Ray, I'm praying for your Bible studies during the week. And I pray for everybody here, for Oscar, the growing Bible teacher, and my, I guess the pastor got an assistant, pastor me, he's my assistant Bible teacher, and then we got Ray for backup, the Grace Gangster. So anyway, Ephesians chapter 1, let's read 16 and 17. The reason I went back to 16, because last time I believe I did a Christmas message, but the week before I did 16, I believe, or it was included. But for context, so you can see why is he saying in 17, you know, what's he saying? It's because in 16. So, and don't forget, Paul is our pattern, right? Paul said he was saved as a pattern for all who would believe thereafter. So he's our pattern for salvation, saved by grace, you know, completely by grace, right? As a gift to God, and also for life. And I believe life and godliness, because you see Paul, his life, he gave. right? Nothing stopped Paul. So he's also our pattern in that. And I believe he's our pattern in prayer. Because I did a study, a series actually, I think on Facebook, The Prayers of Paul. You know, so we know, like, people have problem, you know, sometimes when they come to the grace message and how to rightly divide the word. You know the biggest thing that's a problem for them? The prayer life. Well, what do I pray for now? I was praying for prosperity before and healing and, you know, this and that. And, well, follow Paul's prayers. There's a lot of them. And you'll see what the things he prays about is the things we should be praying about. And you see here he prays for each other, right? For these believers, he said in verse 16, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So again, our prayers don't have to be real long when we pray for each other, though I mentioned last time that sometime maybe we do when somebody's going through real tough times, just take some time and really hold them up in prayer, you know, have their back in prayer. But the pastor mentioned this, and it was enlightening to me. Sometimes it's just a mention. Somebody comes to your mind, a real quick, you know, a little prayer for them, you know. And he says, and what's Paul praying for? That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of him. That's a lot there, ain't it? I really could just teach on this one verse, which we're going to look into it more. But I want to get a little bit more of the context of the whole few verses here. And so we see one thing. Who's he praying to? The Father. So we pray to the Father in the name of the Son through the intercessory work of the Holy Spirit. I think of Philippians 4:4-6. Be anxious for nothing, but by prayer. Okay, do we pray to God? Do we pray to the Holy Spirit? Do we pray to the Son? But by prayer and supplication, make our requests be made known to who? God. And then the peace that passes all understanding protects our minds and hearts. So our requests should always be made to God the Father, right? And you see some more in this verse that you see Jesus Christ. You see the Father, right? That the God, the God the Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ. So you see the Son, Father, God, Son. And there's, what do you call that? Some, not allusion, to the Holy Spirit. It's not exactly coming out saying it, but it's
alluding.
That's because not allusion. I know it wasn't that word. Thank you, brother. I appreciate it. Speaking of prayer, keep Bill in prayer because he's sick right now, and so he could use our prayers. So, you see, later you'll see him mentioning the Holy Spirit. So, you see here the triunity of God, the Godhead. And so, Paul's praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, so he's being specific, the Father of glory. Remember who you're praying to. He's a Father of glory. And what's he praying? Now he's praying to God, and so we need to pray to God. And keep in mind who you're praying to. He's the Father of glory, man. He's omnipotent, right? All-powerful, all-knowing. Know who you're praying to. He's not just this little, you know, the word in faith God that, you know, the big guy in the sky. You ever heard that? It kind of bugs me. And I know people mean well, but it's kind of not having that. In the Old Testament, they actually had such respect for God, they wouldn't even say his name. So he was seemed like he's way out there, right? And then you have some people today, you know, like Pentecostal guy, he says, oh, I was taken to heaven, I was splashing with Jesus, you know, in the Crystal Sea. And so you hear that, the guy in the sky. No, he ain't no guy. This is God, right?
Amen.
You know, and so remember who we're praying to, and we want to give him respect, but we don't want to have you give him ultimate respect. And you know, when you hear the fear of God, you know what that means? And the ultimate respect, because he's not going to punish us. He punished Christ, right? But you want to have that, know who you're praying to, and the privilege that we have for that. And so he says, and he's asking this, the God of glory, that God, and the idea here, would, as we see, we'll go through this, as through his Holy Spirit would do something, that he would give unto you, so grant you, the spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of him. Now that is not, Paul's not talking about that he would give you the Holy Spirit. Because that would throw out where Paul said in Ephesians 1:13-14, that when you heard the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you're sealed with Holy Spirit. So, and even in Greek, there's no definite article where the Holy Spirit. But the idea is, you know, Spirit can have a lot of different things. You, sometimes that word can be interpreted wind, you know, different ways. So the idea is, Paul's going to be, that God through the Holy Spirit, via, through their human spirit, would give them wise and enlightened minds and the truth encompassing Christ. And give them spiritual insight by his spirit. You know, I always say when I study or when you study, always before you study, pray for the Holy Spirit to give you illumination. God, may your Holy Spirit, because we can know what it says and not know what it means. You know, some of you might know this. Don't say it out loud if you do. Can you say alopecia areata?
Alopecia areata.
Come on. Everybody, alopecia areata. All right, you know what I said. What's it mean? And I'm not going to look at anybody in particular. It means fallen hair, baldness, and spots. That's what I'm talking about. I just illumine you to what it meant. And that's a Holy Spirit. One of his ministries is he turns the light on so we can see. If you see, he says... That will be the next verse. But so Paul's praying that God will give them, and secondary, because he's writing to believers, right? Grace believers, to us, a spirit top mind, so we can not only know what the Word of God says, but we'll understand what it means, and that we may have a full knowledge, full complete knowledge of Christ and the church. The body of Christ. So let's go to Romans 16:25. Keep your finger there. Go to Romans 16:25. And this is very important. Another thing God wants us to know. The whole body of Christ to know. And how much in the churches are they preaching this today? Do they preach this morning? How many churches you think are preaching Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Huh? Yeah. Well, Paul says what? We know Christ carne and flesh, and he's talking to grace believers in the body of Christ. Thus we know him no longer. So I study, I'm studying through Matthew right now, and you learn things, you know, you learn things about Christ, and you see his compassion and how he confronts the religious, self-righteous Pharisees, right? But, he's giving them instructions and promises to who? Israel, or his 12 apostles, or those in the Jews, right? Sometimes he's speaking to the Pharisees, you know, different ones. So he's not giving our instructions then. It's not till what? He ascends after his death, burial, and resurrection. He's seated at the right hand of the Father, right? And he's interceding, mediating for us, and he's head of the body, and what he do? Over time, after he saves Paul in Acts chapter 9, he gives him, dispenses all that body of truth. Paul got it over time. And now we have the complete truth, right? And that's some of the things that God wants. truly wants us to understand. He goes, now to him that is of power. So God, he's of power. Dunamis, the idea of dynamite, strength, to establish you, or my New King James will say establish you, according to my gospel. So one thing that's going to establish us, and that means give you a balanced, settled, solid, immovable spiritual condition and walk. Do you want that? Okay, what do we need to know then? Paul's gospel. Christ gave him a unique gospel, right? And today, you know, it's a shame. At one time, the big shots in the church were leaning towards Paul's unique apostleship, the mystery, towards a mid-exposition. But then when it affected baptism and paying tithes, they backed off. Yeah. It's a shame. Because the church overall could have been today so much more knowledgeable, right? So much more, I believe, truly filled, you know, controlled by the Spirit. And he says what? That it's through Paul's gospel. And how are we supposed to preach Christ today? And the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. That whole body of truth to the body of Christ that Christ gave Paul, right? Which was kept secret since the world began. So to find out about this truth, this mystery, where you got to go to? Paul's epistles. What did Paul write? Romans to Philemon. Some people think he wrote Hebrews. I had went back and forth on that. The way I just stand now, I don't believe he did. But I don't argue with people because I see why they think he did. But if he did write it, it was to the Hebrews. It wasn't to the body of Christ. So anyway, so like I said, I'm not going to nitpick with anybody on that. But if we want to know what's written to us, the body of Christ, what do we got to do? We study all God's word, right? It's all profitable. It's all for our comfort, our learning. But if you want to get really built up, and what does Paul say in 2 Timothy 2:15? You all should have this memorized. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that need not be ashamed, what? Rightly dividing the word of truth. If you don't rightly divide the word, you're not going to understand that mystery truth, and you're not going to be built up, and you're not going to be established. So with that said, if you do know it, don't get puffed up. Because you didn't discover it usually just by yourself. Usually somebody point, the Holy Spirit used somebody to point out maybe that verse, right? And then to take time with you, maybe to open up the Word of God with you and be patient. And so, like me, it was different people. In the beginning, they shared things, and I would be like, I ain't been taught that. I never heard that. But then I know what I was taught wasn't working for me, you know, that legalistic Pentecostalism. And so what I did, I says, God, I want to know truth. Christ said you'll know the truth. Now that's transdispensational. That's something Christ wrote, said in Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, right? But that's a transdispensational truth. So you learn to rightly divide the word, and then you also have to realize what's transdispensational. Well, how do you know if we can apply something back here, even in the Old Testament, now today? We major in Paul's epistles. It's like, you know how you strain things through that little screen? Yeah, you take everything and the strainer, and you put it from Romans to Philemon. Now I know if that can be applicable for today as a transdispensational principle. Because so many rightly dividers, they understand the importance of rightly dividing, but then sometimes they overdivide. God said to rightly divide, right? Yes. Not overdivide, not underdivide, but to rightly divide. So we need to know this word. We need to rightly divide it, and then why? My girl got it over there. So let's go to Colossians 1, 25 to 27. Colossians chapter 1. And we'll be coming back to Ephesians, so you don't want to... Colossians 1, 25 through 27. Excuse me. So, remember, you always got to ask when you're studying the Word of God, who's speaking? Whom are they speaking to, right? So, wherefore I? Who's writing it? Paul. Who's he writing it to? Colossians. Who are Colossians? They're members of the body of Christ, right? So, it's applicable to us. I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which was given to me, to who? To Paul. For who? Body of Christ, right? To fulfill the word of God. Now, this is why I like going to the Greek, because fulfill has the idea of complete the word of God. So, if you took Paul's epistles out of the word of God, it wouldn't be complete. You'd have one whole program for the nation Israel. Now, when Christ gave Paul that body of truth, called the mystery, you would insert that back in. Now God's word's completed. Here's this pro from, you know, you go back to Genesis, to Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, early Acts, right? Acts is actually a transitional book from Israel's program to the body of Christ. And then you have from Hebrews to Revelation, that's their program for that early kingdom program, right? And for us, our program is here. Romans to Philemon. Now, when you know that, you're not going to get confused and try and go back here naming and claiming it, blabbing and grabbing it, you know, because you're going to be disappointed. Because if God didn't promise you, is he going to do it for you? No. But the things he promised you, how do you know them? Through Paul's epistles. Then you know that, and you can pray according to his will, right? So then he says, even the mystery, see, what's mystery mean? A secret, right? I like calling it that sacred secret. He said, what? It was hid. What did he say in Romans 16:25? It was hid, right? Paul talks about it was unsearchable. See, you can't find it before Paul's epistles. And even the mystery which has been hid from ages and generations. See, you won't find it from Genesis before Romans, right? God kept the secret. And I went over that before. That's how Satan thought he could hang with God, right? I'll be like God, right? He thought he's as wise as God. All God did was keep a secret. And Satan carried out his will. Why do you think Satan, because he's so proud, you know, puffed up with knowledge. And you get believers like that too sometimes. All they do is they get knowledge and they get puffed up. But it doesn't cause them to love more. It doesn't cause them to reach out more to the lost or to be there and edify the saved and be there for one another. So Satan hates the message and the mystery. Why do you think he attacks it so much? And you know who mostly will attack you? Sometimes unbelievers, they don't know what you're talking about, right? Well, there'll be denominational, usually leaders, and the big shots that will attack the message. And it's a shame. But some things, though they change, they never change. Who attacked Christ? The big shots, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, right? They attacked them, you know. They called them names, you know. They said, you know, who's this guy? He's, you know, what do you call it? When somebody doesn't have a father or whatever, you know. I won't say a word, but you know what I'm saying. So if that happens to you and you get attacked, don't be surprised. You're in good company. Christ, Paul, you know, even Peter and them, they got attacked, right? They got beat. But what? When they told him to shut your mouth about this Jesus, what did they say? Should I obey God or man? So he says, to whom God would make known what is the riches. Do you realize how blessed and rich you are to understand the mystery? Amen. Or to grow in understanding, because it takes that. And Like, if you think you're there, you're not. Paul told the Corinthians, didn't he? If somebody thinks they're something when they're not. We'll continually, all our lives, God wants us to grow spiritually, right? We're all under transformation construction, you could say. The riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is what? Christ in you. Your hope of glory. You know what that word hope means? Confident expectation. It's Christ in you. That's a reality. Do you feel it this morning? I don't. Sometimes when I'm preaching or teaching, I get passionate, emotional, and you know, I feel strength from the Holy Spirit, but I don't always. And you know, and I like before I teach or something to be a little bit stressed. Because when I get, I don't want to be real stressed, because then I get up here, you know, until you get warmed up. But it keeps me dependent on Christ's Spirit in me, the Holy Spirit, to teach out of me. And then I got to give God the glory, because, you know, I'm nobody, but I'm in good company. You know, what they say about Paul, his speech is contemptible. Well, I'm from the hood, you know, and I ain't got a great vocabulary. I'm right in good hands. But he said, not in knowledge. And how do we get knowledge? Studying this Word of God, right? So, let's go to... But what I do when I start feeling a little anxious, and maybe it's something maybe you need to hear, when you're going to share with somebody, and it's like getting a little anxious, people in your family, and I go, Lord, I know why I'm getting anxious. Stress, because I think I got to do it. And it's got to be your Spirit in me doing it through me. And then what happens? It takes that burden off your shoulders. And you can go just, you know, like me, I say, Lord, don't let me focus on myself. Let me focus your love on everyone that I'm ministering to. See, then you're not like, you know, are my eyebrows in place? You know, whatever, you're focused, you know. And that's what God wants us to not be selfish, self-focused, right? He wants us to be first God-focused, Christ-focused, depend on His Holy Spirit, and other-focused, right? Not narcissistic. That's what love is. So let's go to Colossians 1, 9 and 10. Colossians 1, 9 and 10. These prayers sort of coincide, but, you know, we compare Scripture with Scripture, right? And when you compare Colossians and the book of Ephesians are like sister and brother epistles, if you want. You know, they have a lot of the same doctrine, because by this time he had got that full body of truth called the mystery, right? Christ had revealed it to him. So, but you'll find different nuggets. One will give you a little bit more than the other one. You go here, you know, and as you're studying, you know, it's like you'll never exhaust this Word of God, because it's infinite like God. That's what I'm saying. We'll never get to where, well, I've read through the Bible 10 times and, you know, I got it down now. I don't got to study it that much anymore. But he says in verse, what did I say, 9 and 10? Yeah. For this cause, so Paul was praying, because he had heard about their love in the Spirit. Since the day we heard of it, we do not cease to pray for you and desire that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding. Now, who does that in our lives? The Holy Spirit. That's one of His ministries in our life. And there's a purpose for this. It's not to get puffed up. So I got this knowledge, you know. But what is it? That you might walk worthy of the Lord. See, when you get the knowledge, you really, when, like, you know, I always say, you ain't grass grace. Just because you got a lot of knowledge, you read a lot of books, I'm really dividing, right? And you've been under teaching. Until grace has grasped your heart, you ain't grass grace. And grace causes us to what? Deny ungodliness, say no to it, live upright and godly, and makes us zealous for good works. Titus 2, 11 through 14. I mean, there's more to it, but check it out yourselves. You know, I'm doing all your studying for you. Anyway, he says, why that you might, in verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. What pleases God? Walking worthy look like? God wants us to be fruitful in every good work. He wants the work he does to us, to his Holy Spirit, Christ in us expressing himself out of us. He wants fruit to be produced in our lives, in us and then through us in other people's lives. You're planting seeds and fruit in their lives, and then, you know, they go and they're sharing it with somebody else, and there's fruit in their lives, right? And then you go before the Bema steps, and Christ gives our rewards because you allowed your availability. You know, it's something, I think, it's not us actually, we're doing it, right? We're doing the work of the ministry, right? But it's a work of faith and a labor of love. So, like Paul says, I live, right? So we're living, we're doing, but it's no longer I who live, right? But Christ in me. See, he talks about how he is in the strength of the Lord. See, and then I think this is how gracious God is to us. It's Christ did everything, but he shares his inheritance. We're co-heirs with him, heirs of God, right? And he's going to reward us for what he did through us. You're talking about grace, right? You're talking about rich, you know, spiritually. People want to get rich in this world, money-wise. You know, they don't even know what riches are, the true riches that fill your heart inwardly. And I know, if you have grown any, what's the joy you get for when God uses you to touch somebody's life? There's nothing like it. Amen. Man, yeah, you know, Ray, or say you're teaching the Bible, you know, now, and somebody comes up and says, man, I needed that. It's like there's nothing like that, man. Yeah, to me, it just touches my heart. And so that you might, in verse 10, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work. See, and then you keep want to grow in God's understanding, in the knowledge of God, right? So go back to verse 17 in Ephesians. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, might give you the Spirit. So remember, the idea is like a Spirit-taught mind. And what's he want to teach us about? The Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. And that word knowledge there is the idea in the Greek. It's a full and complete knowledge. Truly knowing Christ intimately. You know, it's not just known facts about him. I know about Abe Lincoln. I've read books, but I never met the dude. You know, I ain't sad. And it, maybe we embraced or whatever, you know. I don't know. I know about him. God wants more than that.
Amen.
He wants that intimate relationship with us, with Christ, with his Holy Spirit. You know, and so many times, I think he wants to have a relationship with us more than we want to have a relationship with him. Because if we wanted to have it even a little bit, what he wants, we would really be in this word, because this is where he talks to us. This is where he reveals his heart and his mind, his will, right? And then we'd be more in prayer, because now prayer is intimacy with God, right? It's accessing the divine, right? And we're pouring out our hearts. We're just talking to him. Like, I joke with God. I don't know if you ever joke with God. I think God's got a sense of humor. He made me. These short legs, you know. You talk about in the Old Testament, God laughs. You know, that's what they call a metaphor. But Christ laughed, I believe. You know, at the wedding, remember? I think he danced. now a certain way, not improper. But you know, the Jews dance, you know, they go like this and they kick their feet. And I think he laughed, and why did little children, he even made wine for them. You know, and they said, you know, the legalists say, well, that wasn't wine, that was grapefruit. Oh, really? The dude said, hey, usually they bring out the good stuff in the beginning, they saved it for the end. And then little children, I think, like to sit on his lap. You think little children like to come to somebody who's always, you know, because they always picture Christ as always sorrowful. Well, he did have a lot of sorrow because he mourned for Israel, Israel, how I, many times I wanted to bring you under my wings, right, like a hen does, you know, her. But I would, but you wouldn't. There goes Calvinism. Can't resist Holy Spirit, right? But anyway, let me get back here. So that idea is, it's in the full knowledge of God. So God, by His Spirit, He gives us insight, illumination. What do you think of enlightenment? That's got the word light in there, right? Click, turn the light on, right? Because what happens in the dark? You can't see, right? Now when the lights turn on, you can see. That's why the flesh don't like us getting into the Word of God. You know why? Our sinful nature? It reveals them little areas that it's trying to keep a hold of. Give them a poke. Wake them up. Anyway, I ain't got nobody pick on Bill's not here this morning, so... let's go now Ephesians 1:18. I think I don't know if we'll make it 19:20, and I don't care because it's nice. I don't just get to teach or preach once in a while, you know, like fill in for the pastor. Now I can feel a little more relaxed. I ain't got to get in this whole thing and have 10 verses at the end. I still get like that, but you know, we can just take it up next week if the Lord don't come back. So verse 18. Well, let's flow it from 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, so Paul's praying this, the Father of glory, may give you unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, see, revealing Christ in the knowledge of Him. That the eyes, let's break it down. Let's do MC Hammer here spiritually. The eyes, what do you think of when you think of eyes? Seeing, right? So keep that in mind as you're reading. This why, when you read the Bible, you just floss over it, and that has its place. Maybe you're on the bus, you know, the train going to work. That's cool. That's a good time to maybe just reading the Bible, and you'll get some out of that. But when you take your time and think about words, words have meaning, you know. The eyes, so to be able to see of your understanding. Where's understanding? The mind, right? That's where you have understanding. It's not just the brain. See, the mind in the mind in the Greek, the idea has the idea between the intellectual and emotional. So it's actually your spirit. Your spirit, I believe, is in your brain. I remember Kirkwood used to teach that. I forget it, how he used to put it. But, you know, it, like your heart ain't here. That is your heart, your physical. But I believe the heart is that inner man. And what directs everything? Up here, right? What is Christ called? The head. Why? The head's supposed to direct the body, right? So here it's the Holy Spirit and our human spirit directing our mind, if you want, teaching in our brain, and also directing our will, not overruling it, to do the Word of God, to do the will of God. That's deep, eh? It's beautiful. It's precious truth. Think of the Holy Spirit's, you know, have you ever thanked Him for His ministry to you? Now, I don't pray to the Holy Spirit in that ask Him request. I don't pray and ask Christ for requests. I request Father. But if Christ is in us and the Holy Spirit's in us, wouldn't you like to be sort of acknowledged? So I say, thank you, Holy Spirit, for your ministry in my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that what you do, that you're in me. Thank you for that intimate relationship. And thank you, you're Lord of Lords, and you're the King of Kings, and I praise you. So, you know, we're requesting to the Father, and we're praising Him. But also, I acknowledge, I mean, somebody might disagree with me, I don't know. But I acknowledge, because the Holy Spirit's a person. And Christ is a person, right? And the Father is a person. And so, he says in verse 15, that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So, the Holy Spirit turns our light on so we can see something. And this is what Satan tries to keep people in darkness to. What does Paul say in Corinthians? He says, when Moses is read today, a veil is covering, he keeps them blind by this veil. But when someone turns to Christ, right, the veil is unmoved. Well, if you can't come to Christ on law ground, right, to receive Him as Savior, you got to come by grace, right? And that's removed. And then it says, as we behold Him, keep locked on Him, our focus, that we're transformed more and more into His image. Don't you want that? Man, I know. I mean, Christ was the most loving person that ever lived. And He was wiser than Solomon. I want to be transformed like that. But I don't just want to get the head knowledge. I want my heart to be touched. You know, with God's love filling it. And, you know, as that pours in your heart, it's just splash. Everybody around you, you know. Some of them don't like it. Oh, stop splashing me with that love. You know, like in the pool. You know, somebody jumps in, everything splashes. You know, I don't like that. You know, kids do that. They like doing the cannonball and it splashes. And it's a hot day. It actually kind of feels good. But you're like, hey, no jumping in the pool. You know, I'm trying not to get my hair wet. Not me, but the women. Oh, my makeup is to ruin my mascara. You know, but when you're filled with God's love, it's just going to, it's like a hose, you know. The Holy Spirit pours in our heart. And Paul talks about that, right? The love of God that's poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, right? And when your heart's filled, it's just going to overflow to those around you. And that's what's going to adorn the gospel. So when you do share with them, they're attracted to the gospel. But if you're just this self-righteous, you know, looking like a Pharisee, if you want, looking like you just got out of a funeral sucking on a lemon, that's not going to adore. Hey, you want to become a Christian? You want to commit your life to Christ? You know, that's what they tell them. We tell them that those in the flesh cannot please God. It don't matter what you do. His Ten Commandments that God gave, but you got to keep them perfect. How you doing? Well, God knows I'm not perfect. Oh, yes, He does. He said, you're unrighteous. There's none righteous. No, not one. The only one, because He's talking about fallen man and Adam. The only one who ever walked perfectly righteous was Christ, right? And so we need to come to Him. So He says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. The Holy Spirit wants to turn that light on in our minds that we might know what is the hope of His calling. And what is the riches? Look at that. Riches again. See, in that mystery, it's so deep and filled with God wants us to know we're spiritually rich. You know, we're complete in Christ. We're blessed with every spiritual blessing, and all by grace. We don't deserve it. So why do people get all puffed up about what they know? Because they didn't deserve it, right? And what is the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints? Now, when you just look at this and read it real quick, you think that He's inheriting the saints. That's not the idea here, I'll show you. Because you can't take one verse that might seem a little obscure and then make doctrines on it. That's what cults do. You know, you take what's clear all over, and especially like to the body of Christ in Paul's epistles, and then you interpret a verse by what it's very clear on what's clear. So you know what I'm saying? Everybody with me? Let's go to Romans 8, 16, 17, 18. And we're going to come back to Ephesians, so keep that. Romans 8, 16, 17, 18. My brother's doing good. He's staying awake now. Cool. Let me have some fun from up here. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are children of God. So He's always witnessing to our spirit. And we need that, don't we? Because we don't always act like it. And He's got to remind us of our identity in Christ and we're God's children. And if children, we're children of God, right? Then heirs of God. And look at this. And joint heirs with Christ. That means, joint heirs means equal heirs. Christ shares everything He has with us. He owns heaven, right? Him and the Father, the Holy Spirit. What are we citizens of?
Heaven.
He's totally righteous. What's He share with us? Righteous. God justifies us in Christ, declares us righteous. And so, and join heirs with Christ, if so that we may suffer with Him. Listen this, that we may be glorified together with Him. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. And I believe that's at the Bema Seat. And at the rapture, what type of bodies, how it'll emulate the life of God, the life of Christ through us. And then go to Ephesians. No, go to Colossians 1:12, and then we'll go back to Ephesians. Colossians 1:12. Here's that inheritance that I believe that Paul's talking about back in Ephesians. That it's not Christ's inheritance with us. It's our inheritance that we're co-heirs. We're heirs of God. He says, giving thanks unto the Father, which has made us meet, or the idea is qualified. We didn't qualify ourselves to be saved, right? To be partakers of the inheritance. Remember that. The inheritance. That's what Paul, I believe, is talking about back in Ephesians. Of the saints and the light. So, go back to Ephesians 1:11. This is what part of that God predetermined, predestinated. And remember, this is not unbelievers. God's predestining, like Calvinism teaches. It's believers He's writing about in Ephesians, right? And it's after you're saved, God had predestined before time began something. In whom we also, having obtained an inheritance, see, that we would be heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who works all things after the counsel of His own will. I think I'm going to have to just go back there. Now look at it again after we've read the other verses. And Ephesians 1:18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened. So the Holy Spirit wants us to know something. And God wants us to know. And the Holy Spirit, if we want to know, will illumine our minds. Being enlightened that you may know what is the hope of His calling, that confident expectation. And the idea is knowing. It's knowing something and seeing it. Because the Holy Spirit has taught us it. It's, if we're going to have spiritual knowledge and spiritual wisdom, then who's got to teach it to us? The Holy Spirit, right? Praise God for his ministry. So he says, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope, the confident expectation of his calling, and what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So anyway, hopefully that's been enlightening to you. I was praying that. I always pray the Holy Spirit illumines everyone's mind, because, you know, I try and do my best. Mary says that I have a gift for taking complicated things and breaking them down, which if I do, I'm glad, because you can talk over people's heads and you ain't busting a grape, you ain't helping them. All there is, wow, he's really he's a doctrine. He must have his doctrine head full of doctrine. Anyway, let's pray. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for laughter. That's a gift. Thank you for giving us physical eyes to see. But even if we didn't have them, the Holy Spirit will give us spiritual eyes to see. I think it was Fanny Crosby. I know she was the one who was rich or blind. Or Helen Keller, I know, was. And we thank you, Father, that the ministry of your Holy Spirit, for his ministry, that he illumines our minds. We're very thankful, Holy Spirit, for that ministry. And Father, we're so thankful, because we can't have that ministry, we can't receive the Holy Spirit till we trust what your Son did. So thank you, Lord Jesus, that you died for our sins according to the Scriptures. You were buried and you rose. And I thank you, Father, that you tell us we receive when we believe. We receive the results of what Christ accomplished, and that we're saved by grace, unmerited favor. We don't deserve it. None of this I taught about today do we deserve, even after we're saved. And we receive it just through faith, making a decision to trust in you and what your word says to us. It's not of ourselves. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And faith ain't a work. Because it's not a work, lest anyone should boast. And it's a gift from you, Father. We just had Christmas yesterday, and families gave gifts to each other. But the greatest gift ever given wasn't placed under a tree. It was when you sent your Son, and he willingly came to die on a tree made from a cross made from wood that was from a tree. That's the greatest gift. And he died for our sins so he could rise from the dead to give us spiritual life if we'll receive it just by simple faith. And I pray if there's one out here, even in our assembly, or watching the video or listening, that they'll make that decision today and not keep walking away or ignoring it or rejecting it. And for us, Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit truly enlightens us and works in our minds and our hearts to truly redeem the time while we're here, and that we can learn to walk more and more and more consistently be filled with your Spirit, controlled by your Spirit, and that we'd redeem this time, because we know that days are evil. In Jesus' name we pray.